Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no time.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Good to have you back with us here, reminding you on our way to this conversation that, by the way, you're listening to Bob Dylan's The Times They Are Changing. We're playing that, of course, because I was wrong earlier. I kept saying October 22nd. Today's October 23rd. But as my wife just texted me, Mercury is in retrograde, so everything is going backwards today. So, but on this day in 1962, Bob Dylan recorded The Times They Are Changing. I remind you that support for WEA is provided by Helping Up Mission, information at mission.org. And the conversation with Edward Wyckoff Williams, we were going to bring you at 9, is now happening closer to 10. So he will be on to talk about his new article on what's happening with the killings of young black men in our communities around the country. It's called Black Boys Are Not Safe on Our Streets, and Edward will be joining us a little bit later. We do have on time, though, with this, which is a good thing, Jacob Bender. He's executive director of the Philadelphia chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And while I was away in Georgia, I read the article that he was had that position. That is groundbreaking in many ways because he's a Jewish American. He's a filmmaker. We'll talk about his work. It fits into all that as well. The organization itself, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, was called in 2006 by the Anti-Defamation League as being an extreme organization with its positions on Israel and having links to supported terrorist groups. It was accused of being having something to do with the Holy Land Foundation that was charged with raising funds for Hamas. But then in 2012, a circuit court ordered the reference to CARE be expunged. And even in that, many people who know the Holy Land Foundation say that it was involved in medical and philanthropic work in the Gaza Strip with Hamas and others, and there's a big controversy still around with that, all that. But let me welcome Jacob Bender, the new executive director of the Philadelphia chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, to the Mark Steiner Show. Jacob, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
And folks, we want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages or tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. And Jacob Bender, congratulations on your becoming executive director of the Philly branch of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here. It's been a very exciting month so far, and I look forward to contributing greatly to the organization and to Philly.
And I'm sure you will. Your work precedes you, and we'll talk a bit about, in many ways, how your documentary film, Out of Cordoba, flows really into the work you're doing now, and we'll get to that in a moment. But let's take a step backwards, a couple of steps backwards here. First, let's talk about CARE, the organization itself. I mean, as we were talking about this, I mean, CARE, in many ways, of all of the Muslim organizations or in America looking to better relations with other communities, is one of really the most moderate groups, despite its being called extreme by the Anti-Defamation League.
It's noteworthy that the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, just put out its yearly list of the 10 top anti-Israel groups in the country, and CARE is noticeably absent from that list.
Correct.
So I think there's, in fact, been perhaps a change of heart on the part of the ADL, but you know, we should also consider that, you know, many groups that are labeled anti-Israel have received that designation primarily because they're critical of Israeli policy. One of the groups on that list, which was released yesterday, is Jewish Voices for Peace.
Right.
A group that I know could in no way be considered anti-Israel. And the ADL has a long record of trying to stifle dissent about Israeli policy, even from people like myself who have lived in Israel, have many Israeli friends, have contributed to the state, but many Jews, like myself, disagree with the policies of the Likud right-wing government in Israel, as is our right. But I should note also that CARE is not primarily a organization dealing with international policy, but dealing with rolling back the forces of Islamophobia and prejudice in this country and defending Muslims against discrimination in the United States.
And that, I mean, I think it's important to point out that, I mean, that is CARE's primary role is to bridge this gulf between the Islamic the Muslim community in America and other communities, and to deal with anti-Muslim discrimination in this country, which is what the kind of main thrust of the organization, right?
Yes, exactly, Mark. And I think that perhaps ADL took a second look at the wonderful work of CARE's 30-plus chapters around the country and concluded that they're not a danger to democracy, not a danger to the Jewish community in any way.
So talk a bit about the work you plan to do. I mean, I think this is we've done a lot on this program over the last 20 years, even before 9/11, on bringing various communities together in conversation, Islamic, Jewish, Christian communities in our country, because it people always talk about Christian Jewish relationships, but we always leave the Muslim community out of it. And there are, as I like to say, more Muslims in America today than there are Episcopalians.
Yes, and I heard an Episcopalian minister once refer to his denomination as God's frozen people. Which I thought was a great designation.
So, but I think that the serious part of this is that there's a very diverse Muslim community in America.
Yes, one of the hallmarks of prejudice is to see the other with a capital O as unified and being monolithic. And, you know, those people who attack the Muslim community should know that there's a great diversity of opinion within Muslim life in the United States as it is around the world. And in the same way within the Jewish community, you know, in the synagogue where I've attended for many years, there's a virtual civil war, nonviolent, but still great disagreement about Israeli policy, and the Muslim community brings to the table a great amount of diversity as well. And so it's one of the hallmarks of prejudice is to see one group as somehow being totally in sync with each other, and that's just contradicted by human nature.
So talk a bit about the work of CARE. I mean, let's put that on the table, because I don't think people know a great deal about it. I mean, it's not one of the groups that you hear a lot about in a lot of the press. So talk a bit about what you did. It really gives our listeners a sense of what you do.
CARE is a civil rights and advocacy organization. So many chapters around the country have a legal department and deal with discrimination cases, either in the workplace or in public facilities, dealing many times with Islamic dress, with prayer, which is a vital part of Muslim life and requirements. And so there have been many cases which CARE has taken to court, and one case is which have helped end discrimination against Muslims in the workplace and in public life. The other part of CARE's work is advocacy and public education. So CARE's involved in meeting with other interfaith groups, in speaking at schools and universities to try to educate our fellow Americans about the fastest growing religious group within American society.
That's an important statement you just made, by the way.
Yes.
Say that again. I mean, the Islamic faith in all of its iterations in our country is the fastest growing faith in the United States of America. And in one of the fastest growing, but let me just leave it there, in the United States of America.
Yes. And so there, I feel that there is an obligation upon people who are non-Muslim, like myself, to know about Islam, to know about Muslim life. And so I considered one of the obligations of being a Jew in the United States is really to reach out to other communities. I've done that since my high school years. And in the last 15 years, I've become exceedingly involved with the Muslim community. And I've discovered a tremendous amount of similarity between Muslim and Jewish traditions. We should remember, most Jews are not aware of this, that for many, many centuries in the Middle Ages, 90 to 95% of the world's Jews lived in the Muslim world, and that Arabic for centuries was a language of the Jewish people. It was language of our philosophy, of our correspondence, even of our poetry and music. So Jews gained a tremendous amount of their culture and their civilization from being part and parcel of the Islamic world around the Mediterranean Sea for centuries.
And that also, I think, they can step backwards as well. So I think this is really to talk about where we are today is to understand it sometimes in a historical context, which we do not do.
Yes, I mean, that, you know, after 9/11, people who responded to that in a knee-jerk manner took a very prejudicial view about Islam and, you know, concluded that all of Islam was represented by these hijackers, failing to note that there is 1.4 billion Muslims around the world. The vast, vast, vast majority live in peace with their neighbors and wish only to live better lives. And that after 9/11, over 300 Muslim leaders and scholars and community activists issued condemnations of terrorism, particularly of 9/11, and that every time there has been a terrorist attack committed by those who claim Islam as their justification for doing violence, these acts have been condemned over and over again, not only by CARE, but by other Muslim groups in the United States. Unfortunately, it's not been picked up by the mainstream press, and so that leaves a impression that Muslims in the United States are somehow soft on the question of violence. And I would think it's time that people open their eyes and notice the great amount of condemnations and strivings for coexistence coming on the part of Muslim leaders and Muslim organizations.
Folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We're talking with Jacob Bender, who's a Jewish American and a filmmaker who is now the executive director of the Philadelphia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations that made quite a number of papers over the last week and is an important kind of step. And I think you saw some reaction to it. We're talking with him now at 410-319-8888. So please join us here. But going back again, I'm going to go to history, but I want to go to where we are now in America, in the Muslim world in America. I mean, your movie Out of Cordoba, that you made when you took a journey to this place that was for hundreds of years kind of a bastion of real memories, dialogue, freedom, and a different kind of world between especially Muslims and Jews.
And Christians.
And Christians, well. Actually, yeah, I'm sure, and Christians, absolutely. And the two great philosophers that came out of that world, Averroes, who was a Muslim, and Maimonides, the Jewish philosopher that came out of that world. And you took a journey there to kind of find this place. And this world also took place, as I was reading, in places like the Mughal Empire in what is now part of northern India, which the same kind of open civilization between Hindus, Christians, Jews, and Muslims took place under Islamic leadership. Talk a bit about that.
Especially during the reign of Akbar the Great.
Right, exactly. In the Mughal Empire, right.
Yes.
So talk a bit about that, and then this, because there are roots of this peace and dialogue and flourishing that we do not pay attention to.
Well, I undertook the production of my film, documentary film, Out of Cordoba, as a direct response to 9/11. And living in New York, as I did and do at the time, I actually commute into this office. I was walking with my wife and infant daughter at the time on the morning of September 11th in Central Park near our house. And we looked up and we saw a plane flying low over the treetops, its wings going back and forth. We had never seen anything like that, and so we went home, turned on the TV, and the rest, as they say, is history. In the months and time after 9/11, we noticed that many people in the United States, public commentators, some government officials, some public intellectuals, so-called, began to speak about something they referred to as a clash of civilizations. And by this, they meant that there was a eternal an unsolvable conflict between what they saw as the diametrical poles of the West on the one hand, meaning us, Christians, primarily Christians and Jews, and the 1.4 billion Muslims in the world. And they saw that this conflict was unnegotiable and that we were in for a war, and that this became one of the intellectual underpinnings of the war on terror and the Bush administration's attack on Iraq. And I wanted to respond to that because I knew that there was another side of history, a side which stressed coexistence and cross-fertilization, and looking at the great amount of sharing that took place between Jews, Muslims, and Christians in Spain, but in other places around the Mediterranean as well during the Middle Ages. Of course, we can point to the Inquisition and the Crusades as time of violence. But even during that time, people in these three faiths continued to read each other's books, learn each other's melodies, dress in similar ways, learn about architecture from one another. And so it's that sharing and what the Spanish call convivencia, or coexistence, that I wanted to bring to the forefront in my film. And with the help of many people around the world, it was finished. And for the last 3 years, I've been showing it in over 100 locales around the United States, universities, synagogues, churches, mosques, and has been shown. The film has been shown on international TV. And most excitingly, Al Jazeera has acquired the rights for the film and is doing an Arabic version for broadcast throughout the Middle East, and so that people in the Muslim world and Arabic-speaking world will also see that there are people in the United States who do not see the Muslim world as its enemy but want to learn about Islam, because we live with Muslims on a daily basis in many cities around the world. And so the film was my contribution, or my attempt to, again, further interfaith understanding between what is referred to as the children of Abraham, all of us Jews, Christians, and Muslims who share this amazing and diverse monotheistic tradition as a bedrock of our lives.
So I think that's an important film, and I hope we can get you maybe here to Baltimore to show that film and talk about it. It would be great to have you here to do that.
It would be a great honor to come.
And maybe have Care and some others do that jointly with a bunch of groups and have a conversation about who we really are.
That would be terrific.
But let's talk about what Care does. I mean, one of the things I said earlier was that the Muslim community in America is a very diverse community, whether it's the 2.5 million African Americans, whether they're part of NOI or whether they are follow the work of W.D. Muhammad and Malcolm X, or whether it's the I'm going to say this incorrectly, but I don't want to because they're on my show all the time, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, whether it's the Sunni or Shia. It's a very foreign-born, American-born, it's a very complex community. So how does CARE deal with that and deal with that in terms of relations with the rest of the country and the other communities in America?
Let's take first on what CARE does. Again, CARE is both a civil rights organization and a advocacy organization. So in the civil rights cases, it intakes people and helps Muslims around the country who have faced discrimination in their workplace, and also addresses the destruction and defilement of places of worship when, unfortunately, that has occurred in a few places. On the education level, it prints materials for use in schools. It sends speakers around to high school students to educate them about Islam and who Muslims are in this country. And so it tries to work on a many with many, many different strategies at the same time, trying to further religious understanding and interfaith relations. And so there is a great amount of outreach and cooperation between CARE and Christian and many Jewish groups as well around the country. I know personally rabbis who have participated in CARE programs and Jewish scholars who have participated in CARE programs. As far as the avoidance of CARE by some people in the Jewish community, we should remember that there's another group of Muslims in the country called ISNA, Islamic Society of North America.
Right.
And after 2001, it was impossible to find Jewish and many Christian leaders to dialogue with ISNA because they were also on Ashcroft's Attorney General at the time, Ashcroft's watch list. But things changed. Times, they are changing. And today, ISNA is dialoguing with many Jewish groups around the country. And I would hope the same thing will happen with CARE, that my co-religionists in the Jewish community will understand that CARE is not a threat, is not advocating anti-Semitism, or the destruction of the State of Israel, even though it may and does have very strong criticism, as do I, about the nature of Israeli policy. But as ISNA has gained a foothold in the world of interfaith dialogue, I hope more and more people within the Jewish community will follow the lead of Christian clergy and Christians around this country to see that CARE and Muslims in general, should be accorded a seat at the table, and so that we no longer talk about Judeo-Christianity, but we talk about Abrahamic traditions in this country,
so
which encompasses all three Abrahamic traditions.
So what do you see as your task now? What do you see as the biggest task in front of you at this moment when it comes to Islamic-American relations, especially as a Jewish American in the middle of the middle of that struggle as the executive director of CARE in Philadelphia?
Well, I think after 9/11, we have seen an hourglass effect. On the one hand, I have personally seen by traveling the country with my film a mushrooming of tremendous amount of interfaith groups which have come together on their own, dozens and dozens small groups around the country. Hello, still there?
I'm still here. Okay. Someone's clicking. We got you, though. Yeah.
Okay. Mushrooming of small interfaith groups who have reached out to other people of other religious traditions within their communities to get to know their neighbors. On the other hand, the other part of the hourglass is a eruption of a strong and tremendously well-funded network of Islamophobic individuals and organizations who have attempted to attack Islam verbally at every chance they get, and to try to make it illegitimate for Muslim organizations like CARE to participate fully within American life. And so I think we can be proud of the fact that there is this these many, many interfaith groups, which speaks wonderfully about the openness at the heart of American society. But as we know from the prejudice that other groups have faced in the United States, such as blacks and Jews and Irish and Catholics, liberty in this country is a promise. It's not a guarantee. And the promise is only fulfilled when people become active and take advantage of their rights in this country to push the agenda of openness and anti-discrimination. Looking at history, we should see that exactly the same sorts of canards and accusations were thrown at millions of Catholic immigrants coming into this country as are now thrown at Muslims. Catholicism was accused of being incompatible with democracy and modernity, exactly the same type of verbiage we hear being directed at Islam.
We're here talking with Jacob Bender, who is the executive director of the Philadelphia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, a Jewish American who is now executive director of that chapter. We want to thank him for being with us. We're going to go out on this conversation, listen to Dalia Sultan performing Il Hilwa, which is the lovely one, a song from Egypt by Syed Darwish, a great poet. And it is what's called, this conversation, this music was called Semites in collaboration with musicians from the Maxwell Street Klezmer Band and prominent Egyptian musicians going out together to talk about creating this cost control view of life, but this time through music. And Jacob Bender, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Mark. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's been a pleasure to have you. We're going to take a brief break and come back with our good friend Edward Wyckoff Williams. Don't go away.